e koyi meda kada malaika koyi meda kada hegenna hegenna linda si dengi doda wakin terai kododi menaka kakanu farkata ka gofundo bombom kasi gofundo alipadi gofundo malaika koyi meda kada.
That's Mali's Ali Ibrahim Farka Touré, always in our hearts as Farka Touré on guitar, and he is singing Hey Ghana. Ali Farka Touré was considered the original blues man of all of Africa. This song is a song asking a mountain, a sacred mountain, for permission to intrude on its space. Ali Farka Touré is one of my very, very favorite musicians, and you should get to know him. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. It is Wednesday, August the 12th, 2015, and we're going to be talking today about media monsters and the monster media. How winners are made. You know, the backdrop to the Donald Trump-centered political soap opera that we've been witnessing is an intriguing story, but not for reasons that we would think. That story hasn't really been told yet, mainly because the people who should be telling the story and the media organizations that they're working for, they are the key players, and to a sordid production that has little to do with the public's right to know. It's about money. Lots and lots and lots of money. But it's also about power, and it's also about how, in fine American style, winners are made. Whether it's in the media or in politics, there is a side of the story we need to appreciate. Now, I started talking about this between July the 27th and 29th in my discussions on the confluence of interests and power between the media and the political duopoly, and particularly referencing the rightward shift in American politics. So let's start with a little backtracking about the debate. Well, we know it wasn't a debate at all, because in case anybody wanted to dispute that, I encourage you to go look up the meaning of the word debate. This was not a debate. This was a Q&A. This was a dog and pony show. But it was a very important dog and pony show. And the subtlety here was that the media organization that was hosting this debate, I'm referring to Fox News, very subtly, the media organization and its representatives basically sealed the deal here for media, for the media itself. You know, presidential debates used to be held by the League of Women Voters, and they were the ones who were looked to, this organization, albeit, you know, a white women's organization, but okay, let's go with that. They had been organizing these debates for a very long time. And suddenly, something happened. And it happened in 1988. And we can get to appreciate what happened by a news release that the organization issued on October the 3rd, 1988. Headlined, League Refuses to Help Perpetrate a Fraud, Withdraws Support from Final Presidential Debate. It was an astonishing thing. I read you from the press release that they issued on October the 3rd, 1988. The League of Women Voters is withdrawing its sponsorship of the presidential debate scheduled for mid-October because the demands of the two campaign organizations would perpetuate a fraud on the American voter, League President Nancy M. Newman said today. Quote, it has become clear to us that the candidates' organizations aim to add debates to their list of campaign trail charades devoid of substance, spontaneity, and honest answers to tough questions, Newman said. The League has no intention of becoming an accessory to the hoodwinking of the American public. Newman said that the campaigns presented the League with their debate agreement on September the 28th, 2 weeks before the scheduled debate. The campaign's agreement was negotiated behind closed doors and was presented to the leagues as a done deal, she said. Most objectionable to the League, Newman said, were conditions in the agreement that gave the campaigns unprecedented control over the proceedings. Newman called outrageous the campaign's demands that they control the selection of questioners, the composition of the audience, hall access for the press, and other issues. The campaign's agreement is a closed-door masterpiece, Newman said. Never in the history of the League of Women Voters have two candidates' organizations come to us with such stringent, unyielding, and self-serving demands. Newman said she and the League regretted that the American people have had no real opportunities to judge the presidential nominees outside of campaign-controlled environments. Quote, on the threshold of a new millennium, this country remains the brightest hope for all who cherish free speech and open debate, Newman said. Americans deserve to see and hear the men who would be president face each other in a debate on the hard and complex issues critical to our progress into the next century, unquote. Well, this is hard, tough language from a very conservative group, a nonpartisan group, just the same, and the group that had been, up until that time, hosting presidential debates. So what happened? In step the media organizations. Well, the League of Women Voters, they're out. We can step in because there's a lot of money to be made here. Has nothing to do with, you know, this nonsense that Newman is talking about, Nancy Newman and her thing about, you know, the right of the public to know and to for candidates to truly engage each other in debate and to have relevant questions arise. No. That stuff is, you know, passé. Here in 1988 is a fantastic opportunity to make some big, big money. Why? Because presidential campaigns have a lot of money. I've discussed with you that industry experts are expecting at up to about $5 billion will be spent in this presidential election year of 2016 in advertising alone. So that is huge money. And they haven't opened up the sluices yet because they haven't negotiated and settled on their spending contracts with these media organizations. Now, you think when you watch that debate, you think you're watching journalism, you know, in action. And I was cracking up when Megyn Kelly, who is now, you know, her star is rising, her so-called journalistic star is rising, because, of course, she kind of butted heads, supposedly, by asking Trump a reasonably decent question. And now her star is rising in the journalistic world. And now these days, anybody could call themselves a journalist. I mean, whatever. You just wake up tomorrow, I'm a journalist. Nobody could wake up tomorrow and say, well, I'm a doctor. I'm a physicist. But you could always wake up tomorrow and say, look, you know what? I'm a journalist. So I want to discuss this a bit, because Megyn Kelly, what we saw there is a panel of three. Right? We saw three of Fox News's best and brightest. It probably doesn't occur to you, or to most people, and I'm not saying this as an indictment, it's just a fact. We don't see these reporters as corporate entities themselves, but they are. They are their own, quote, brand, unquote. So this is what happened. The League of Women Voters just had a habit of just concentrating on debates. But debates are boring. No big deal. Just one guy says A, the other guy says B, and, you know, they face off. That's nice. But why have that when you can have a kind of celebrity apprentice presidential edition? So Trump comes in and shakes things up the way he wants to, and the media are all going at it. They're all going with it, too. Sitting there before the carefully orchestrated array of candidates, because that's how Donald Trump ended up smack dab in the middle of the 10 on stage, right? And that's why the other seven didn't, quote, make the cut, unquote. They got to sit at the little kid's table at the earlier, quote, debate. But this is a show and tell. There's nobody's debating here. But the media telling you you're watching a debate. There's no debate. These reporters are selected. They are the cream of the crop of Fox News. I have to make sure you understand, cream of the crop of Fox News. But here's what you need to understand. They are millionaires. And they are themselves corporate entities. You think you're seeing Megyn Kelly there as a, quote, journalist? Well, Fox News has to fork out quite a bit of money every year to pay her salary. So she is an entity that has to be paid. She's a multimillionaire. Her salary is like $7 million by now. And that's her salary. You're talking about, next to her was Bret Baier. Brett earns $7 million a year. These are not journalists. These are entrepreneurs. They're entrepreneurs posing as journalists. Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace is the pauper of the group. He's earning a modest $1 million a year, but has a net worth of about $6 million. And these are the people who have positioned themselves as the representation of Fox News. Mega, mega dollars, Fox News. They're making tons of money. So this is a money enterprise, no matter how you look at it. Now, Fox News is going to have to find some way to pay these people their multimillion dollar salaries. And everybody is waiting, because after Fox News is finished with that, then CNN comes up next. And I've talked to you about Anderson Cooper being worth about $100 million, earning $10 million a year. These are corporate entities as journalists. Now, even after this big fight between Donald Trump and Megyn Kelly, guess what? The same journalist who says, I will not be tamed. I will continue my fearless. I'll be fearless but fair kind of stuff. All that drivel. Trump picks up the phone, or Roger Ailes picks up the phone. Roger Ailes, the news director, the CEO, the factotum of Fox News, and they have a chat, a kind of manly chat, man to man. Let's deal with this. What comes out of that? What comes out of that? We have Megan basically saying, you know what? All is forgiven. Let's move on. Let's move on. And I'm not taking this personally. I'm taking the high road. You get all that stuff. But the fact is, this powerful woman had no problem conceding the insult, because it is far more important to her, and that system makes it important to her, to trade, make a trade, and make the decision to trade. Do you want to hold to your so-called journalistic standards? Or do you want a higher profile at Fox News with more money to come, and, you know, you increase your speaking fees and all of that? This is all in the mix. So she shut up, quickly put out a statement that, you know, she's interested in moving on. Meanwhile, Roger Ailes has offered Donald Trump, come back and do a special with whom? With Megyn Kelly. An extended interview with a person who is said to be very slighted by your sexist and misogynist comments. But they can get over that because it's money. Now, make no mistake about this. The interest in Donald Trump has to do with Donald Trump. He's a very, I guess, an interesting person. But the media as a whole have been operating as if nobody in the newsroom has a brain and nobody could tell what's a story and what's not a story. They're all covering Donald Trump. And the interest now is not about the fact that Donald Trump is just, is he worth covering? Is he saying anything that, according to journalistic standards, stands up to scrutiny and inquiry? Has he not been repeatedly found to be quite off base factually with a lot of what he's saying? He's shooting from the lip, hasn't produced any plans, hasn't produced anything concrete to quantify all the stuff that he's yammering about and spewing, and people are running around slavishly, quote, covering Donald Trump. There's nothing to cover there. There is nothing yet to cover other than we have a rather brash, tacky, grotesquely egomaniacal person who is successful at beating the media at their own game. He has already gotten millions of dollars of free coverage. Why? Because all of the media organizations are trying to get a piece of that $5 billion that's coming down the pike. Nobody wants to upset him or any other candidate. So they're towing the line, because not only is that $5 billion there from the candidates' campaigns alone, then you have people like the Koch brothers, who have their $1 billion, almost $1 billion set aside for additional advertising. And then there are the unions, and then there are the interest groups, and then there are the political action committees. So there's a lot of money swirling around. And so who needs to hold to those idealistic views of the League of Women Voters? Who needs that? They're not interested in money. They're boring. And on principle, the very press that invaded the territory that the League of Women Voters left vacant because they objected to what they called a fraud. They objected and they refused. That's the thing they said. We refuse to help perpetrate a fraud. The media as an institution said, we have no problem with fraud and helping to perpetrate fraud. Nobody's asking, that whole charade there, did that amount to a debate? Did that yield substantive information? Did that put the candidates' ideas to test against each other? No. That is not what that's for. That is to give you the illusion that something is happening, when in fact the whole mechanism, the whole thing is designed around money and power and, of course, personal interest. And that's a real big story here. The media organizations themselves decided to become, oh my God, they decided to be, they elected to be willing servants of this charade to sign on. I mean, if Trump had to get this kind of coverage, he would have to pay for it. And they're offering it for free. They've been doing this for a long time. They made this guy a major, major player. They did it because they understood what they were doing. They were stoking the fires. Trump was a great stimulus to stoke the fires. Yes, now make him to be a very controversial guy, and he's saying controversial things. But never mind the fact that ordinarily responsible media and people who are the gatekeepers of news in this country, who assign themselves that duty, would also be presumed to have a working brain and would be able and would be trusted and trusted with the responsibility of deciding what is worthy of coverage and what is not worthy of coverage. What's a story and what's not a story. That stuff has been thrown through the window. Because in the corporate offices of the organizations that they work for, the decision has been made. We've got to get at the money. However it is that we get it, we're going to get it. And you, the people who are sitting out there in your chairs facing the candidates, trying to persuade America that it's watching a debate, your job is simply to carry the ball. Help carry the ball to the end zone. And the ball is, we got to get a contract signed, and we got to make some money out of this presidential race, because there's a ton of money, more money than ever in the history of political campaigns, will be spent in 2016. And every media organization, and I'm talking mainstream media, of course, they want their hands on huge chunks of it. And all we have been seeing so far largely has to do with the pursuit of a sealed and signed contract for advertising campaigns. That's all we've been seeing. So look at the offense being committed here before our eyes. These people, like I said, multimillionaires themselves. I mean, it's reached the point where these media organizations now have their folks being rated in a very different way. Your value to a media organization, mainstream organization, is actually measured by the dollar value of your viewer or your listener. That's how you're rated. You know, you are valuable based on how many people you can bring within our reach. And with Fox News, we know there is a clear ideological bent. They have done a marvelous job, a phenomenal job of consolidating the right and moving the nation rightward, in some cases, dramatically so. It is made to look like journalism, and it is not. In the end, the news people have opted to be salespeople. They're selling something, selling a product. They're selling illusion they're selling actually delusion. They're making you believe that what you're witnessing has to do, you know, all the buzzwords, the freedom and democracy and free flow of ideas and free speech and voters' rights and all of that nonsense. Nothing at all related to the truth. It's money. And so you will see in these so-called debates that are coming up, somebody needs to inform these media organizations about the actual meaning of the word debate, what a debate is. It means people actually argue with each other. It's not a Q&A. It's not a dog and pony show. It is the vigorous and robust exchange and contest among individuals about ideas. The United States can't tolerate and won't tolerate a debate. That is not going to be real at all. It's not going to happen. Because the very idea of these forums is to conjure up an alternative reality, to make you believe these things are really happening. This really is the way it ought to be. But you see how the media themselves, I mean, this is so condemnatory, it's not even funny. Nobody stood up when the League of Women Voters, on the basis of principle, said we will not participate in this charade, this fraud. We will not help perpetrate a fraud. Not one media organization said, hey, you know what? You're right. And we're with you on that. In the interest of the people, in the interest of democracy and the free flow of ideas. No, they're not interested in the free flow of ideas. They're interested in formulating your ideas. They're interested in telling you what to think. And they are part and parcel of this system of oppression by creating illusions and delusions. And so when you sit down and you really analyze this thing, you see that you have very few defenses against this onslaught. All driven by money. All driven by money. So when I said last month, between July 27th and 29th, that we have to pay attention, forget all that stuff that is so painfully obvious, that we have to look at what has happened here, the definitive line that has been crossed without any apology, without any care at all. The media have actually anointed themselves. I mean, they used to do this, but quietly. But they are out there just as brashly and offensively as Trump is. They understand that mentality because that's how they are. We are to be in control of what you know. And we can make, in the interest of that, we will make whatever deals we need to make to get there, to get that done. We will place ourselves in service of whatever ideology would get us where we need to go financially. We will dispense with all these notions, these high-minded notions about freedom and democracy and the free flow of ideas. Forget that. We're about money. Money and power and control. Look really at what has happened here. Here's Donald Trump. Everybody knows he's a blowhard. He's a person who has done a remarkable job in 6 weeks of, sorry about that, but we'll just live with that. He's done a fantastic job of rising above all of this fray. And by the way, this don't forget, this was in place for how many years? This was the system. Donald Trump, and I suspect this was part of the choreography, his outrageous behavior was manufactured as news. The media all did it. They created the illusion that this was news. When every single story that they wrote had nothing to do or very little to do with the substance of what they were reporting on. It was enough that Donald Trump was different. And so they helped him build his brand. And the trade-off was good. Donald Trump being outrageous invigorated a race that was seen as dull. It's now caused a lot of activity, and it has sparked the growth of the Republican Party, especially the right wing of the Republican Party. You notice now that we now cherish reasonable Republicans because there are few of them left, only a few left. This thing has taken the right wing to the greatest heights in the shortest time. This is fantastic. And then you have Roger Ailes, who is pure politics and has been very successful marrying politics and revenues and building Fox News as a juggernaut, a journalistic juggernaut. No other media organization comes close to it in terms of reach. And so that allows him and Fox to occupy a unique space in the political landscape. He is an influencer of opinion. He is truly a gatekeeper of news. He can invent people. He can destroy people. He has incredible power. The other people we see sitting out there as the so-called hosts of this debate, they're going along for the ride because it's a very lucrative ride. Would Megyn Kelly be able to pull $6 million a year, doing a regular job? No. But she had all of the attributes and had no problem. See, this is where we get into this feminist discussion. Had no problem playing the role of the submissive white woman in America. It was required because that's how Fox News runs its organization. To get a plum program, you have to be white and blonde. She's white and blonde. And she kept getting blonder as the months went by. So she filled that. She's very pretty and she is, pretty fast on her feet. She's not a journalist, but she says she is and has been working as a journalist, although her formal training is as a lawyer. Now, the average person, especially a person of color walking into any news organization, they want to see your, not just your journalistic credentials, but your lineage, your journalistic lineage. Okay, so you're a journalist, but was your father a journalist and your grandfather? Are you truly qualified? No, they make that too. They make these people become relevant in our lives. And those people, the trade-off is whatever it is I have to do, because this now is my career. I'm interested in a lucrative career. I am a corporation. You think Anderson Cooper is just a reporter? No, he's a corporate entity on his own. Brian Williams, who was just caught, quote, exaggerating, unquote. Nobody is ever using the word lying in connection with Brian Williams, but Brian Williams of NBC is a corporate entity. So these are people who appreciate the same thing when all is said and done. This is a business. Reporting is a business, and it is run like a business. It's hierarchical. Roger Ailes is calling the shots, but he's building the big business. Those people who are featured are building their particular brands as well. And they all work together. to get the job done. Now, the side effect is that you have to sacrifice a little bit on the business of journalistic integrity, but they could do that. The same, very, very militant Megyn Kelly had no problem with Roger Ailes going over her head. Well, he is the guy who's her boss. She has had no problem at all objecting to basically a man-to-man discussion that kind of deals with her, but she's out of it. She has no direct input in that discussion. So she's willing. She's willing to concede some personal power there and some integrity there. But she's going to cling to the idea that she's engaging in free and fair journalism. Oh, yes, I will not be silenced. I will continue to carry I will continue to carry on as a free and fair journalist. Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, okay, sure. So, where does this leave us? The first thing is, as I said, don't get excited about anything you're seeing here, because there's nothing yet that is substantive that has actually qualified for our attention. It's all marketing, the primary objectives of which are, one, to get a hold of up to $5 billion. They get a sizable chunk of that money, plus other billions that will flow with regard to the supportive organizations and their particular issues that they want to market that may favor candidate A or candidate B. So that's a lot of money. And number two, we have the media having absolutely no apologies whatsoever as using itself, and this is a major objective, to consolidate political power, to influence opinion, and to direct the ideological shift of America to the right, and in some cases, I would say, the extreme right. In this regard, these so-called debates have tremendous significance, because it dramatically has proven the intent of the media and the abuse of media and the use of media in shaping public opinion. And when you power to shape and affect actions. So it could be said that this is a test, and it is working out just the way they're planning it. This is a test of the power of the awesome power of the right. And this is what is happening. But to accomplish this, they will amuse you into thinking this is about politics and this is about, you know, one guy who has strange ideas. It says that the media are willing to set aside their standards and whatever is left of their integrity, whatever is left of their is set aside in service of the overarching agendas. So you and I have to be particularly careful, because they have ramped things up to a level
Alayga kwayna na kada.
CRN.fm. We're having a little technical difficulty, but what I wanted to do was open up the phone lines and see what your thoughts are on the subject today. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Let me know what your thoughts are about what my discussion has been today. All right. We're talking about this charade that is unfolding before our eyes, and we are encouraged to look elsewhere but not underneath all the things that we are actually witnessing and what is being formulated for us in public consumption. But underneath it all, we basically have a juggernaut of money, and we have all sides pretty much dispensing with the courtesies of genuine belief and going along with the program, with the idea that we are not supposed to know, we are not supposed to catch on, and that they are just proceeding. They're just proceeding with their plan. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's hear what you have to say about the subject today. Do you think it is just accidental that we are seeing so much coverage of Donald Trump? Is it because he's so extraordinary? Is it because that he's really saying something and offering something that is a genuine choice? Is that really what's happening, or is something else happening here? And should it concern us? Should we be bothered by it, or just dismiss it as, it's just one of those things. It's part of the landscape, you know, the political landscape, campaign stuff. It's nothing to get all excited about. Well, I contend that we ought to pay attention. There's something happening here, and it's not about a presidential race as such. It has to do with agendas that we are not privy to. From New Jersey, Bobby, you're on the air. Hello, Bobby, you're on the air.
Yeah, Patrice.
Yes.
Hello? Yes,
yes,
I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
Okay, what I wanted to say, I totally agree that it's not for the presidential race. It has to do with more of, unfortunately, a hidden agenda, as you just spoke of. I'd like to indulge you, if you will, for one moment. It says here when it comes to the augment of money. It says, in America, the people will never allow private banks to control issuance of their money, first by inflation and then by deflation. The banks and corporations that will grow up around will deprive the people of their property until their children will wake up homeless on the continents that their forefathers conquered. I believe
okay,
that well, banking.
How is that relating to our subject today?
Well, what tends to happen is that we believe that you had said this whole event was evolved around money. that is an illusion. We have no money. The only real money is people's equity, which is their ability to perform a job or use their energy to either construct something, use their mind in which to formulate something or to derive something. That's what these individuals tend to utilize. And they put it in the form of money, or which would be tenure. The stuff that they are passing around is actually a note. It says it's a note when you receive it in your hand. It is one owned by the Federal Reserve. So we're saying that this person is getting X amount of dollars in which to dupe its fellow citizens, but that is only agreed upon which the other person accepts. If nobody accepts it.
But, Bobby, I understand your point, but you're a little bit off the center here. The what we wanted, if you can address from your perspective, this alignment that seems to be happening between media and politics, where it seems to be, the lines seem to be very, very blurred. Does it bother you?
Absolutely. But I believe it's, like I said in the beginning, it's a hidden agenda. The agenda is skewed, but it's in plain sight. It is to control people's, you know, every existence, like we had in the terms in times past with kings and queens, trying to control people's lives, saying what people shall do, shall not do, where they'll go, how many kids they'll have, if they'll have a life at all. Right now we're about to have a collapse in our economy. All economists are talking about it, but nobody's mentioned it basically on these presidential debates. This is supposed to be something coming in the months to come. Mm-hmm. We see other countries around us collapsing based upon this thing that we agree upon, which is supposed to be money. And yet,
well, we will continue the conversation on Friday, Free Your Mind Friday. I hope you call back and you'll have enough space to kind of, you know, elaborate. But this brings us to the end of the program today. We had a little hiccup, but it's, I don't know what happened to my end. It kept saying that I think it's on my end, some irregularity with the speed, and that's not me, that's Mr. Comcast. So thank him for that. But I thank you for listening today, and hopefully you'll stay tuned. Coming up next is the NBC Savings Club. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. Let me know. And thank you so much for the pleasure and great privilege of your company today. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye. Down, 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 down